So you, that quiet, gentle, loving spirit obeying your husband. One day he comes and says, "What are you doing this morning?" "Well, I'm going to church, honey. I'm all dressed up." He says, "You know, maybe I'll just go with you today." Amen. "Well, I'd love for it too, but you know, if you don't want to, that's okay." Don't jump over and say, "Oh, this is what I've been waiting for." You just blew it. Well, in second thought, I ain't going. Don't make him think you're having anything to do with it. Let him make the decisions. Hey, that's the way men are made. You got to fool them. I'm letting out some of my secrets, girls. You got to love him. Is that what the scripture is saying? In your quiet, gentle spirit. And he says, "Yeah, I think I will go to church with you." "Okay, I'd love for you to if you want to, but if you don't, that's okay too. Well, yeah, I'm going with you today." "Are you sure you want to go?" "Yeah, I want to go." "Okay." And don't say a thing to him all about the service. Let him listen. Let God work on him. And everything, when he gets home, he might say, "Well, I don't know whether I want to go down there or not. I didn't like much what that preacher said today." Don't jump in there and say, "Well, you need to hear what he said." That's the wrong thing to say, girls. That's the wrong thing to say. What did God say you're supposed to do here? What did he say? "Be in subject to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation or the quietness and gentleness of the wife." If you're that quiet, gentle wife, wow. Let's go to the next verse, Jordan, see what it says there. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear..." Let's go to the next verse too. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel." Now, what's that? Flip that over in the NLT right there. Let's read that in the NLT, verse 2 and 3. "By watching your pure godly behavior." Don't you like that? "By watching your pure godly behavior, don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Just be that sweet, beautiful woman." Now then, dress nice. If you can't afford high dollar fancy clothes, which some can't, then just make sure you have a nice dress or top or whatever, and make sure you smell good and your hair looks nice. You don't have to have all the gold and the braid and all that kind of stuff, but look nice for your husband. Amen. Probably whenever you were dating him, you would have never went out with him if you were really a lady. If he come over to your house one day and said, "I'm coming over to your house, I'd like to take you out to dinner," and you've been out in the garden and you're digging and you're dirty and you're stinky and you hadn't brushed your teeth today, you probably wouldn't say, "Come on over, I'll be ready in a minute, 1 minute, I'll just go with you just like I am." Forget it. You ain't going like that, are you, Nessie? No. I mean, you ain't going with your husband like that. You're going to say, "Oh, you got to give me at least a half hour. I'm out working. I got to get cleaned up." So you got to run and shower, brush your teeth, comb your hair, and at least put on something clean and nice and smell good when he comes in. So he's a little bit impressed. You know, is that right?
Amen.
Sure. Now then, that's what the Lord's telling you to do. But you don't have to put on all these fancy jewels and gold and diamonds. And I see people, women, especially when I see a woman that's really, you know, done well in life, and or her husband's done well in life, and whenever I see them, you know, they can't hold up their hand because of all the diamond rings all over them. But they hold them up like this, you know, make sure you can see them. I want to tell you, ladies, that don't impress me at all. I want to know how godly you are. I want to know how beautiful you are from that inward woman. That outward woman don't mean a whole lot to me. I'd a whole lot rather be married to one that was that beautiful, sweet thing inwardly than had all the diamonds dripping off of her. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Then let's go to the next two. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within. Now he's talking to you ladies. You should be known But the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Now, girls, you want to make God happy? Do you? You should. That should be your desire to make God happy. And he's talking about that beauty that comes from within, that unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. In other words, a gentle and quiet spirit is not one that screams at her husband, is it? That's not a gentle and quiet spirit. So when you do that, that doesn't please God. Now, he says that is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Now, sometimes whenever your husband starts to do something, you go down and you go to an investment deal together. And when you get through listening to that, he looks over at you and says, "Honey, what do you think about that?" Now, then the woman has the ability to communicate right and left brain instantly. You don't have that ability, men. That's the way God made you. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I didn't make us, did I? God did. But the woman can communicate right and left brain instantly. The man cannot. In other words, what she may get instantly may take you an hour or a day to get it. So if she looks over to you and says, "I think that's the best investment I've ever seen," you need to listen to her. At least listen. And then you're going to make a decision. And you may make the right one, or you may listen to her, and she says, "You know, I don't think we ought to touch that. I don't think that's going to be good for our business." And you look at it and you think, "Nope, I'm going to go this way." Now, what is the wife's responsibility at this point? "Okay, honey, we'll go your way. You're the head of the house." She knows. She knows he's made a wrong decision. I mean, she knows it. Now, if she's going to be that quiet, gentle woman, she's going to say, "Okay, you're the spiritual head." And then in a week or a month or 6 months, whenever that fails and it comes back, if she's the good woman, she won't run in and say, "You dummy, I told you." Now, see, some women do that, though. Some women will come right back. Wife, I mean, she'll come back and say, "See, you dummy, I told you 6 months ago you shouldn't have done that. Now, see, if you'd have listened to me." Well, those kind of women don't stay married very long. Those kind of women don't stay married. You know, said, and the man comes back and says, "I should have listened to you." She said, "Well, I just told you what the Lord showed me." You know, now, but you're the final authority. You know, so we learned a lesson from this. We're going to try to do better next time. That's that woman's quiet, gentle spirit. When that woman walks like that, next time that she talks, he'll listen. He'll listen. But if she don't come back at him, you know, but if she keeps that quiet, gentle spirit. Listen to what he says. "You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious. And that is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands." Their husbands had authority. They accepted it, even when they knew he was wrong. But they didn't tell him. They just give them their input. Now, husbands, anytime you don't ask your wife's advice, you're a real dummy. You're a real dummy. If you don't ask your wife's advice and listen to what she has to say and then run it around and don't make quick decisions on what your wife says, because your wife, like I said, this is an absolute scientific fact. A woman can communicate right and left brain instantly, and us men cannot do that. That link between our right and left brain is severed, and some things will take an hour, and some things will take up to 2 or 3 days for that communication to come. So, guys, you women, be understanding with your husbands. He doesn't have the ability to concentrate and think like you do. He can't do it. Some of you guys say, "I'm smarter than my wife any day." Well, no, you're just a dummy, that's all. You just don't know. Listen to her. Listen, and then give it a day or two or three to run around in your head before you make the decision, because you might find out she's right. You know, but regardless, when the decision's made, whose decision is it to make the final decision? The husband. And then the wife is to have that gentle, quiet spirit. I mean, even though he may make the wrong one, if he makes the right one, don't jump in there and say, "Whoa, you listen to me this time, so this is going to be okay." Don't do that. You know, don't do that. And the next verse, Jordan, what does verse 6 and 7 say? For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband. Now, how many of us know who Sarah was? That was Abraham's wife. I mean, she was a daughter of the king. I mean, Abraham turned out to be the father of many nations. And for instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him her master. Now, I want you to flip that over into the King James. And I want you to see what this says in the King James. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, she called her husband Lord. Some of you, this is the way some of you women will do it. You'll make a decision and she'll say, "Yes, Lord." That's not the way he meant for you to do that, was he? So when you talk to your husband, you should call him Lord. In the NLT, what did it say? Your husband is your master. Is this written in God's Word, folks? Okay. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, he says, whose daughter you are, as long as you do well and not are afraid with any amazement. Okay, let's flip back over to the NLT on that one, on verse 6. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear and what your husbands might do. In other words, you love your husband. You're gentle to him. You know that if you're walking in love, you know that regardless what he might do, what he might say, or the decisions he might make, who does God hold responsible in your home for the decisions? The husband, not the wife. He holds the husband. What does he hold the wife responsible for? Being subject to her husband, obeying him. Is that what the Scripture says? And it said, if you do that, you do it just like Sarah. Sarah was one of God's daughters. And God loved her. And he says, if you, ladies, obey your husbands like that.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.